Let's read together Joel chapter 3, verses 12 through 21. In this last half of Joel chapter 3, we have a further description of the final judgment of the nations. And then in the concluding verses, we have a description of the wonderful blessings that will come upon Israel in the future. Joel chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. Let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will grow dark, and the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord also will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and earth will shake. But the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Let's begin this final section now of Joel chapter 3 with some background notes. The day of the Lord is a topic that is found frequently in the prophets of the Old Testament. In fact, it is found in 8 or half of the prophetic books of the Old Testament. The day of the Lord is found in 6 of the minor prophets. In fact, it's the theme of Zephaniah and Joel. The day of the Lord refers to any time that the Lord of heaven intervenes in the affairs of man on earth, especially in reference to the nations. Now, some of the day of the Lord prophecies of the Old Testament have already been fulfilled in history, but most of the day of the Lord prophecies await to be fulfilled in the end times. Whether the day of the Lord prophecies were already fulfilled in history or whether they await to be fulfilled, from the prophet's point of view, the day of the Lord is near. Notice verse 14. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Even though this day of the Lord prophecy still awaits to be fulfilled in the future, it was near as far as the prophet was concerned, because from his point of view, it was imminent. That is, it could happen in the near future, but not necessarily. The prophet does not know exactly when it will take place in the future. The prophets do not give a time schedule for the day of the Lord prophecies. Only now, in New Testament times, can we look back and sort out the day of the Lord prophecies and see what's been fulfilled, what's been partially fulfilled, and what awaits to be fulfilled. Another point to keep in mind, many times the historical fulfillment or partial fulfillment of a day of the Lord prophecy will illustrate the way the future day of the Lord prophecies will be fulfilled. Now, the future day of the Lord prophecies are divided into prophecies of judgment and prophecies of blessing. The prophecies of judgment take place during the future tribulation period after the rapture, and the future prophecies of blessing take place during the future millennial kingdom of Christ, which follows the tribulation period. Now, here in the last half of Joel chapter 3, we have both day of the Lord prophecies of judgment and day of the Lord prophecies of blessing. That brings us then to our doctrinal points for Joel chapter 3. So, doctrinal point number 1, the future day of the Lord will mean judgment for the nations. The future day of the Lord will mean judgment for the nations. Verses 12 through 16. In these verses that we've just read, we have a continuation of what we had at the beginning of the chapter, namely the judgment of the nations. Look back at verses 1 and 2 of Joel chapter 3. For behold, in those days, and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage Israel. And now verse 12, let the nations be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. This is the judgment of the nations that follows the great battle of Armageddon at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. This is the judgment of the nations that's referred to as the judgment of the sheep and the goats in our Lord's Olivet Discourse in Matthew 25. Notice that the Valley of Jehoshaphat, where this judgment will take place, is also called the Valley of Decision. Now, the reason it's called the Valley of Decision is not because those gathered there will have a chance to make a decision. No, it's called the Valley of Decision because the Lord will decide whether they are sheep or goats and whether they will enter heaven or not. This judgment, as we see from verse 2 and from Matthew chapter 25, will be based on how they treated the Lord's chosen people. This is not just a matter of anti-Semitism. This has to do with their response to the believing Jewish remnant of the last days and the message of that believing remnant. Look back at the last verse of Joel chapter 2. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. Those who stand against the Antichrist of the last days and help this believing Jewish remnant will be risking their lives, and it will certainly be evidence of true faith. Notice from verse 14 that multitudes are in the Valley of Decision. This would emphasize that the sheep and the goats are not entire nations, but rather the sheep and the goats are individuals within the nations. Notice how verse 15 and 16 fit right in with how our Lord described his second coming in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24. I'm reading Matthew 24, verses 29 and 30. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. The future day of the Lord will mean judgment for the nations. Doctrinal point number two. The future day of the Lord will mean blessing for Israel. The future day of the Lord will mean blessing for Israel. Joel chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. But the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no alien shall ever pass through her again. And it will come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drip with new wine, the hills shall flow with milk, and all the brooks of Judah shall be flooded with water. A fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord and water the valley of Acacias. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom a desolate wilderness, because of violence against the people of Judah, for they have shed innocent blood in their land. But Judah shall abide forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. For I will acquit them of the guilt of bloodshed, whom I had not acquitted, for the Lord dwells in Zion. Here we have a wonderful description of the millennial blessings that will come to the land and the people of Israel in the future. Now, when we use the term millennial, we are referring to the 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth, which follows the tribulation period. And when we use the terms Israel and Judah and Jerusalem, we are referring to the literal nation of Israel and the literal area of Judah and the literal city of Jerusalem. These blessings are not to be spiritualized away to the church today, as some Christians do. No, these blessings will be upon the believing nation of Israel during Christ's future kingdom on earth. In verse 17, when it says, "Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no alien shall ever pass through her again." The idea here is not that there will be no Gentiles allowed in the New Jerusalem. No, the idea here is that no foreigners will ever overrun or invade Jerusalem again. They will not pass through her again in that way. I mean, think of how many times throughout history Jerusalem has been attacked and invaded, but never again. Once the Lord returns and sets up his kingdom, never again. Egypt and Edom and any other nation which oppose God's plans for Israel will reap what they have sown, verse 19. Verse 18 describes the productivity of the land of Israel during the millennium. Notice that water will flow from the temple area in Jerusalem to irrigate the land. The end of verse 18, a fountain shall flow from the house of the Lord and water the valley of Acacias. We read about these waters both in Ezekiel 47 and in Zechariah 14. I'm reading Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 8. And in that day it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea or the Dead Sea, and half of them toward the western sea or the Mediterranean Sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur. These waters, folks, are not to be spiritualized to the gospel stream going out from the church today. No. This is literal water flowing out from literal Jerusalem and making the literal Judean wilderness blossom like a rose in a literal way. This is not today, but in the future, when the Lord returns to set up his earthly kingdom with headquarters in the New Jerusalem. This will all literally take place then. Now, verse 21 has been translated several different ways, as you will see in your various translations. In view of the context, I think the point here is that God will avenge for all the wrong done to his people throughout history. The nations will be judged, and Israel will be blessed. In the future day of the Lord, there will be blessing for Israel. Now, what about practical application from this last half of Joel chapter 3? Make your decision before the Lord makes his decision. Make your decision before the Lord makes his decision. Verse 14, once again. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. As we mentioned before, the decisions that are made in the future valley of decision will not be people deciding whether or not to follow the Lord. No, it's too late then. It will be the Lord deciding who in these multitudes gets into heaven and who doesn't. Read Matthew 25, beginning at verse 31 and following. Right now, the door of decision is still open. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Is it possible that you're here this morning and you're still not a believer? Maybe you think you have all the time in the world to make your decision. You don't. Your life could be taken suddenly. The Lord could come back at any time. You could become hardened to the gospel. There does come a time when it is too late. There is no second chance. You can be sure that when the future valley of decision takes place, it will be too late for the individuals gathered there at that time. And there will come a point in time when it's too late for you. Make sure you decide now, while the door of decision is still open. Make your decision before the Lord makes his decision.